What up, everybody? Welcome into Locked On Warriors. I'm your host, Charles T. Hamilton. Wes Goldberg going to be joining me in just a minute from Chase Center. Another disappointing loss in a season full of losses, but this one was extra disappointing for a number of reasons, and we're going to get to all of those. There were some positives to come from the game. One negative that I've noticed that I don't know if it needs to be fixed, but it needs to be talked about. We're going to start a discussion. That's for damn sure. It's all coming up next here on Locked On Warriors on the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
You are Locked On Warriors, your daily Golden State Warriors podcast, part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
What up, everybody? Welcome into Locked On Warriors. I am your host, Charles T. Hamilton, co-host Wes Goldberg, joining me in just a minute from the Chase Center, from the scene of yet another disappointing loss for the Golden State Warriors this year. That makes it 10 in a row for the Dubs. And this one was disappointing. I mean, there have been losses this year that you understand. Dallas has the Warriors number. You get that. But this was one of those ones against the Denver Nuggets that the Warriors coulda, woulda, shoulda had, but didn't. And part of the reason why it was so disappointing is because there were a lot of good performances and positives to come from this game, and we're going to get to all of those. But there was also one thing that I've noticed throughout the last couple weeks that, again, might not need to be fixed immediately, but definitely needs to be talked about, and we're going to get to that in just 1 minute. But first, are you the type of fan that knows football so well that you could choose any game and call it? Well, MyBookie is the place for you because they let you turn all your sports knowledge into cash in your wallet. Between football season, NBA, and the start of the college basketball season, it's time to get off the sideline and get in on the action with MyBookie. If you're the kind of guy who likes to bet a little to win a lot, try a parlay. For instance, if you like a couple of the big favorites this week, parlays are perfect because they let you bet multiple games together for a much bigger payout. So if you're going to bet this season, do the smart thing and go to mybookie.ag because no one gives you more ways to win. Tired of watching games from the couch with nothing to gain? MyBookie wants to get your mind off everything else and back on the game. If you join MyBookie, we'll match your deposit halfway all the way up to $1,000. That means if you deposit $2,000, you get an extra $1,000 in free money to play with. Just use promo code LOCKEDONNBA to activate the offer. Once again, that's promo code LOCKEDONNBA to take advantage of MyBookie's generous sign-up offer. Visit MyBookie.ag today. You play, you win, you get paid. Wes, what's up? You, of course, were at the Chase Center for this one, and I understand the talent disparity here, but I have to call this a disappointing loss when you look at the situation that the Warriors were in tonight, coming in having lost, what was it, 8 or 9 straight, and having a chance to break the losing streak. You got Steph and Clay in the building. You got the good vibes of Marquese Chris being back. Jordan Poole's making plays. You have a lead most of the game. You're able to push it to overtime, and then the team with more talent prevailed. And how many overtime games straight is it that they've lost? Like 7 or something? I keep losing count of all these losing streaks. Yeah, but
I know it's now it's 10 straight losses, and it's their fourth overtime loss of the season. So just a whole bunch of losses.
Yeah, exactly. And I think dating back to last year, it's maybe 9 straights. I know they lost all their overtime games last year too. So it's a struggle. In a season of losses, I can't help but call this one disappointing. Where are you at with it? What did you see tonight being there?
No, I think you can absolutely add this one to the disappointing column because, you know, you've got some losses that aren't disappointing this season. You've got several that are disappointing this season. This is definitely one of the disappointing ones because they had a 19-point lead at one point, not only in the first half, but also in the second half. And this is a team that has talked a lot about needing to learn how to win. But I think just as important as learning how to win, this team needs to forget how to lose. And it kind of felt like they just willed themselves to a loss tonight a little bit. I was actually a little surprised in post-game. A lot of guys were sort of saying, you know, you got to give credit to Denver where credit's due, you know, a talented team, et cetera, blah, blah, blah. And I'm just kind of sitting there. I'm like, you guys blew this one. Like, what are you talking about? Like, This is a team. Denver was on the second night of a back-to-back. They weren't playing well whatsoever. Nikola Jokic didn't even score a point or have an assist in the first quarter. He didn't get his first assist until midway through the second quarter. I mean, when you talk about diagramming defenses to take away, you know, the opponent's best player and what the opponent's best player does best, they did that. And it's just like they had every reason to win this game. And you look at the box score, and there's not really a whole lot of reasons for them to lose. And I don't know that they entirely knew what happened either, because, you know, you ask them to put their finger on what happened there in the fourth quarter when they gave up that lead. And they, you know, we had 18 turnovers in the game. That didn't help. It's like, all right, cool. But Denver had 21 turnovers in the game. So that wasn't really the difference. This to me was definitely one of the more frustrating losses. I think even watching it, I was frustrated. I was like, guys, like, you were playing so well. And then I had to completely scratch my gamer with 6 minutes left and rewrite it. So that's always fun. Not that I need to complain about my job, but, all that's to say is I think it was a pretty disappointing night for everybody in the building.
Yeah. They should definitely take into account all the beat writers, man. Like,
they don't even care.
The story was already done and they just go ahead and blow it for us. You know, like, come on.
Yeah.
I do want to get to some of the positives, because even though it was disappointing, I think that's part of why it was disappointing, is because there were a number of positives to come out of tonight's game. But one thing I want to bring up, and I want to get your opinion on it, I don't think that D'Angelo Russell takes too many threes, but I think he might settle for too many threes. And part of that, why I say that, is because he's so talented at getting to the rim. He's shown an improved ability at getting to the line this year, that sometimes when he just keeps jacking them up, and I mean, the stat line isn't that bad, 6 of 12 tonight, but still there are times where I'm just like, you know, it would behoove you and the team to get to the rim or get to the line. Where are you at with him and, you know, some of his shot selection?
Yeah. Well, do you have the box score in front of you? Didn't he, like, aren't all of his makes three-pointers?
Yeah, he was 6 of 18 from the field, 6 of 12 from three. So all his makes were from three.
He went to the free throw line one time. I think, look, I kind of joked in the middle of the game, I'm like, I think D'Angelo Russell has the lowest threshold for the heat check than anybody, as anybody in the league. He literally just will make one three-pointer, and it's the very next time he touches the ball, he will take a three-pointer. I can almost guarantee it. I bet one of the beat writers next to me, he made a three-pointer. Now, it was not the first set of three-pointers, and I call them sets of three-pointers. It was not the first set of three-pointers he made at the beginning of the first quarter, but the second set of three-pointers he made at the end of the second quarter. After he made the first one, I turn to the beat writer next to me and I say, $10, the next time he touches the ball, he takes a three. And that was the one time he actually went to the free throw line. So I was wrong. But every other time, it's incredible. Like, you could just, it's like clockwork. He makes one and he's ready to go. And, like, look, I think that's why D'Angelo Russell can be such an exciting player to watch sometimes, is because once he makes one, he's just ready to take the next one. And so that's kind of like what he does. But at sometimes, like you said, the shot selection could be questionable. I think that's more of a long-term issue for the Warriors. I think right now you can't really diss his shot selection, because it's like, all right, like, who else, you want Draymond Green shooting? Like, what do you want? But if he's going to shoot like that when Steph Curry and Klay Thompson are there, I think that's when it's going to be more problematic.
Yeah, definitely. Well, I did say we'd get to the positives, because there were plenty of positives. One of the main ones for me is Damian Lee, obviously putting up 21 points. We also had Alec Burks, Jordan Poole showed some flashes. We're going to get to all of them in just 1 minute. But first, this spring, follow your favorite baseball teams to Arizona for Cactus League spring training. Amazing weather, landscapes, exciting outdoor adventure, incredible food. Arizona is the perfect home base for baseball fans. It's a one-of-a-kind spring training experience. You can follow your favorite baseball teams to Arizona for Cactus League. 10 stadiums, 15 MLB teams, 75-degree temperatures. All 10 stadiums are in Greater Phoenix. Within 50 miles, you can hit up every single stadium. You get to meet the players, get their autographs before games. I mean, honestly, it's one of the best experiences you can have if you're a baseball fan. It's similar to Summer League for NBA. You're out there schmoozing with the baseball players. You're bumping into them at restaurants and bars. You're having casual conversations with these guys. It is awesome. I can't urge you enough, if you're a baseball fan, to go check out my A's. Go bump into Matt Chapp and tell him I said what's up. There's tons to see and do outside of baseball. You can check out amazing restaurants and bars, tons of craft breweries, like Four Peaks, Angels, Trumpet Ale House, and Goldwater Brewing Company. Tons of live music and national sports. You can explore museums featuring everything from Native heritage to modern art, musical instruments from around the world. Arizona is also known for its incredible landscapes, thrilling outdoor adventures. Hit the road, explore Arizona's urban centers, ghost towns, artsy communities, and quirky outposts. Then get back for a baseball game. There's hiking, biking, jeep tours, hot air balloons, skydiving, jet skiing, or just taking in the sunset. No matter what you love to do, Arizona has you covered. You can check off must-see destinations from your bucket list, like the Grand Canyon, Monument Valley, Horseshoe Bend, and Tucson. Bring the kids along to spring training. Arizona is a fantastic destination for families. Family-friendly resorts and hotels offer plenty of fun for the kids of all ages. Water parks to horseback rides to games and activities. Arizona has tons of stuff for kids to do and see, like wildlife parks, science museums, aquariums, and dude ranches. Plan your spring training getaway at visitarizona.com/springtraining. That is visitarizona.com/springtraining. Wes, so we've talked about this being a disappointing loss, and I think part of the reason why it's a disappointing loss is because you had so many players play well. I mean, you had the team play well. They went 20 of 45 from three. That's a damn good night. That's 44%. Yeah. It's too bad that a night like that gets wasted. But at the same time, I do want to point out some of these young guys that have played well, and especially a guy like Jordan Poole, who, look, it wasn't anything too crazy of a night, but when you calibrate for how he looked earlier in the season, he was 4 of 9 from the field, 2 of 5 from three. We saw some, like, we're starting to see the flashes, like actual flashes. That no look dime to Marquise Chris was pretty. Like, we're starting to see some of his real game come out. Ended with 10 points, but the fact that he's just putting up respectable stat lines is a major step for him compared to earlier in the season.
Yeah, I mean, 10 points, 4 of 9 shooting, right? I mean, look, it wasn't bad, and I think that's a step in the right direction for him. And, you know, his teammates are really complimentary toward him. I think he's feeling a lot better. I think, you know, you hear the word, you know, renewed confidence. You kind of hear that phrase thrown around with him all the time. I don't know how much I really buy into the whole confidence mm-hmm. narrative, but I just think that eventually the shots were going to go in, and he's going to feel better about his game. And that was just bound to happen. And that's how he's feeling right now. And then you mentioned, like, the no-look pass there. I mean, I don't know how many times I have to talk about how good of a passer he is, but he's a damn good passer, and that's a part of his game that he takes pride in. And it's something that he can help, like, when that shot is falling, it just sort of adds momentum to the rest of his game, and so you see those kind of games that he has. And defensively, like, underratedly, he's not as much of a liability as he once was. He seems to be in the right place at the right time, you know. He still can get stuck on screens and die in those situations, but for the most part, like, he's a pretty well-rounded player. Like, I'm not saying he's a good player yet. I don't think he's quite there, but he's, like, I don't know that he has any, like, one glaring weakness at this point that you can really point to, which is a really good place to start for his development.
Yeah, definitely. And, I mean, the nice part is, you know, you draft a guy who's supposed to, you know, be able to score and have a silky smooth game, and you don't see it for a long time. And, you know, we're supposed to have deficiencies on defense. So you see those. But at least we're starting to see what we have been told that he can do. Another player who had a good game tonight is Eric Paschal. He had 16 points, was 4 of 7 from the field, got to the free throw line, 7 of 7 from the free throw line. And it's just nice to see, because there have been games where he's not productive. And, you know, like we've talked about, it could be just there's tape on him. He's hitting the rookie wall a little bit. Whatever it is, it's good to see him back to being productive for these guys. And, I mean, you know, 20 minutes, getting 20 minutes tonight, 16 points in 20 minutes is a pretty solid stat line for him, I'd say.
Yeah, and he had the biggest shot of the night, too, with that three-pointer at the end there, which was his only shot that he took outside of the paint the entire game. And one of the gripes I think I have with Eric Paschal is, or just as far as his game goes, is he does seem a little shy to take those perimeter jumpers. He just does. He seems pretty stubborn not to do it. I just don't think there's a lot of confidence in that outside jumper for him. So he tends to kind of get the ball, do that little Carmelo Anthony jab step thing that he does, and then just try to elbow his way into the paint. And he does that so often. I mean, it's like almost the exact opposite problem that D'Angelo Russell has as far as D'Angelo just settling for outside jumpers. It's like Eric Paschal is just settling for bulldozing his way to the rim instead of working on that jump shot that I know him and coaches have worked a lot on. They've been basically trying to change his form and do all these things. So I just don't think he has a lot of confidence in that game day jumper. But when it mattered, man, he freaking hit it. Like, and it looked smooth and it looked confident. I asked him about it after the game. He sort of downplayed it, I think understandably so. You know, I didn't really expect much else from him, but I think that was a really good sign, because I think what we're learning with Eric Paschal is, yeah, maybe he doesn't jump off the page as far as a draft prospect on paper, but the dude's a gamer. And when it mattered, he made the shot that he otherwise wasn't making.
Yeah. A couple other guys who had some nice games. I mentioned Damian Lee had 21 points. Draymond, only 6 points, but he did have 8 rebounds, 8 assists, 1 steal, 2 blocks. And talking about D'Angelo Russell, I failed to mention, he did have 9 assists. So, I mean, the guy is doing a little bit of everything. He also had 3 steals, 3 rebounds. So even though he's, I guess the shot selection is one minor gripe that we can obviously live with. But the last three I want to get to, because they all kind of fall in the same category here as we approach the trade deadline. Willie Cauley-Stein had a solid game, 10 points, 6 rebounds. After, you know, a couple bad performances, good to see him bounce back a little bit. Glenn Robinson III, 6 of 10 from the field, 3 of 5 from 3, 17 points. And then Alec Burks, who led the team with 25 points, 6 of 14, 4 of 9 from 3, and 9 of 10 from the free throw line. If you had, I mean, first off, these are all nice showcases for teams that might be looking for help at the trade deadline. Yep. If you had to guess, who do you think will be moved and who do you think will be with the Warriors for the rest of the year and then, you know, possibly into next year?
I would guess that it's still Alec Burks, only because of his plug and play type of style of play. Mm-hmm. I just think there's a lot of teams out there that could use a guy like Alec Burks, but I'll tell you this, Willie Cauley-Stein, I think, however you want to phrase this, helped himself in that regard. I think his showcase was really interesting. Steve Kerr moved Willie Cauley-Stein back into the starting lineup because of the, matchup against Nikola Jokic. Nikola Jokic is obviously a big body, but also a body that likes to hang out on the perimeter quite a bit. I think the way to take away what he does, as far as facilitating from, you know, the top of the key, is just to put the biggest body you have in his face, because he's not a huge athlete, right? Like, Jokic is not going to, there's no jump passes. There's no, like, kind of getting around the defender and kicking out. Like, it's just, he's a very stationary passer. So you put the biggest body you have in his face, and it just, you know, it impedes his view and impedes his passing vision. And so in that respect, Willie Cauley-Stein was a great fit there, but he also did a nice job of switching on the perimeter, not getting caught on screens, knocking the ball away, grabbing a couple of steals and loose balls and stuff like that, which he tends to do a good job of anyway. I thought he had a really impressive game. I don't like 10 points on 5 shots, 6 rebounds doesn't necessarily stand out, but defensively I just thought he was such an asset for this team, especially for the first 3 quarters.
Yeah, I mean, we've talked about it before. He's the guy I'm the most torn on, where I think he could really flourish with a healthy Warriors team, and then you see some bad games and you're just, oh well, you know, he'd be fine to move him. So either way, I'm good with what happens with him, I think. But yeah, it'll be interesting to see, because I think Alec Burks is the one they're most willing to move on from. But you know, the first trade rumor we heard, or at least that I remember hearing, was, I think, what, Philly was interested in Glenn Robinson. So I don't know who's more attractive to, you know, the other teams out there. It'll be interesting to see as we approach the trade deadline. Wes, it's late, a disappointing loss. Let's call it a night, and let's talk tomorrow. And thank you guys so much for listening to another episode of Locked On Warriors on the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
You are Locked On Warriors, your daily podcast on the Golden State Warriors, part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.